You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
You will have an opportunity, if you would like, to join myself, Phil Martelli, and many other legends for a great cause. And we're looking for a threesome to join in the fight against cancer.
What's some?
A threesome. That's
okay.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Curious. Okay.
Yep. Place your bid now, and you can join myself for an amazing day of golf, food, and fun at the award-winning Huntington Valley Country Club.
Wow.
Which I have never been on, can't afford to play on, can't afford to join. But thanks to this opportunity, you and I and a few others will get together for a great day and a great cause.
So you can bid on this.
That's
you
correct.
Can bid on this to play in this threesome with you.
That's right.
Which is actually a foursome. Because
correct. Three plus one is four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe where's Michael Pelka? Maybe he could bid on this and see if he can get another hole-in-one.
I know. There you go.
Yeah.
Crush cancer. You can go to 1210WPHT.com. Check my Twitter timeline. I tweeted out the link to it yesterday.
It's all
if you've
on,
got the funds.
It's all on 1210WPHT.com. 1210WPHT.com.
Yep.
The link is up there if you want to bid on this. It's a great cause. All the money goes to the charity. Cancer has affected everybody's life. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah. So, it's a good cause, and you can golf at this lovely golf course with Nick Gale and
with this lovely broadcaster.
Yeah,
there you go.
Are you buying drinks?
Why not? What the hell?
We're asking for the generosity of the audience right now, so please help us.
There you go. 855-839-1210. Let's get to the news. 703, round number two, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. We are sponsored in Kale and Company News Live on this Tuesday, September 17th. We are sponsored by Indeed this morning in the news. We have word of four men from Philadelphia under arrest in what police are calling, this is Operation Beef Bandits under arrest.
Again?
Well, these guys may be responsible for some of the meat, including seafood, beef that has been stolen.
These chip steak kleptos.
So we have word that these men are from Philadelphia. They were arrested in Jersey, though, and it's allegedly, according to authorities, an organized cargo theft ring targeting tractor trailers stopped at service areas along the New Jersey Turnpike. So is this connected to what's been happening in South Philadelphia? This is the question. So under arrest, 23-year-old Sean Coleman, 37-year-old Salahuddin Reddy, and 31-year-old Hanif Tucker, and as well, Rashawn Clark Reddy, who is 26 years old, arrested at the Molly Pitcher Service Area, Cranberry Township. Investigators say they caught the men trying to steal packaged meat from a parked tractor trailer. So New Jersey State Police saying the arrests are a result of this two-month investigation they called Operation Beef Bandit.
Give me the chicken cutlets and nobody gets hurt. We'll take your beef, your poultry, or your fish.
They say that over the past 3 years, they say this group of four men is accused of stealing high-value goods, meats, alcohol, seafood, from trailers parked at rest stops. The heists have resulted in millions of dollars in stolen merchandise. This, according to investigators, after a months-long investigation.
Wow.
So these guys are in jail, and there's a long police report, but according to the police report, when they closed in on these guys, they were in a stolen car, tried to evade them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of details there. But the question is, are these men being looked at on the Pennsylvania side? Because this is on the New Jersey side.
So meats, alcohol, and high-end merchandise.
And seafood.
It sounds like they're trying to open up a high-end restaurant. Maybe they can take advantage of Kamala Harris's small business startup for $50,000 instead of stealing things.
There you
go.
So we'll continue to follow up on that one. They're in jail pending a bail detention hearing. Sean P. Diddy Combs arrested yesterday, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York City. That big announcement with Combs arrested at the Park Hyatt Hotel, West 57th Street. According to his attorney, he had relocated to New York in anticipation of this grand jury indictment. But they say that he was caught off guard by the apprehension. This according to a person familiar with the situation who added he had been living in the hotel for several weeks. So apparently they knew that the indictment was coming, but they didn't expect that he would be arrested in that manner yesterday.
And if you recall, a few months ago in the summer, they went and I think they raided his property in Florida. And then I don't know if it was true or we were speculating he was on a flight and he was going to like an island. I think there's no question. It's just a matter of when, not if. But once this thing goes down, I think once he gets locked up, I don't think you're ever going to see him in the public again.
Well,
just a hunch.
Innocent until proven.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise.
Absolutely.
But this, there's a whole timeline here. So the allegations that are swirling, was this a sex trafficking situation? Sexual assault was one of the accusations in a civil suit brought by the former girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura, who had sued him in federal court and alleged years of physical abuse, etc. So we believe that the indictment will be unsealed in court as soon as this morning. So when that's unsealed, then in the Southern District of New York, then we'll hopefully know more details.
Uh-huh.
So that's serious news that's making international headlines. Obviously, his attorney releasing a statement calling him a music icon and that he will fight these allegations.
Got a pervert.
Icon.
That's what his attorney.
No. I know. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just criticizing that statement. I mean, you know.
Stalker's like, he's mid.
He profited off of the talent of Notorious B.I.G.
Yes. Hey, when's the last time he really had a major album? I mean, it's been probably 20-some years. Yeah.
We have a warning from Pennsylvania State Police about this police impersonator.
Uh-oh.
This is a large middle-aged man posing as a police officer.
Nick.
It's not me. Well, you said large middle-aged man. No, not me.
He pulled over a driver in Chester County, according to the authorities. So this actually happened Friday, September 13th, Route 1 near Route 896, Upper Oxford Township. And the victim reported that while traveling north on US 1, the vehicle was tailgating for several miles, and then the suspect activated the red and blue emergency lights. It looked legitimate, even had a siren, and stopped to try to stop the victim's vehicle. The victim describing the light to be one of those bubble lights that the suspect placed on top of the roof. So they're giving out the suspect description. Pretty big guy, 6'2", tall, heavy set. Middle age, black hair, tan complexion, wearing a police style uniform with a badge. And the vehicle was described as a black Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know that police officers, unless it's like Dukes of Hazzard or something, drive an Escalade.
Yeah, I would think the Secret Service maybe has an Escalade.
Undercover. You know what I mean?
That's true.
When they try and catch you in speed traps and stuff, sometimes they're undercover. Yeah, always ask for the badge, right?
Yeah.
But this guy had a badge.
Guy had everything.
Had a badge, had a police uniform.
We don't need no stinking badges.
So pulled the person over. Nobody injured. The person realized something was wrong, took off. But they're putting out the word and the description. They want to get this guy.
And do we know if the person that was pulled over, was that a female?
I
feel like it's the man that's trying to do something to the female. And
just curious, what did they do? What did this person allegedly do when they pulled this person over?
Fake cop pulls him over, and it was actually early Friday morning. They were probably listening to Kale & Company.
Yep, always.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so the person felt something was wrong, took off, and nobody hurt, nothing like that. But reporting it to the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So Pennsylvania State Police want to get this guy.
Yeah.
And feel like, we don't know what was going to happen next, but right. wasn't good.
No.
So they're saying, here's the thing they always say, if something doesn't feel right, you know, you can even put your four-way flashers on if it's dark, put on your interior lights, put on your four-ways, keep going at a slow rate, call 911, get on the phone, tell them what's happening, say, is this a legit officer?
Yeah, it's true. Good point.
So, especially for, you know.
I think the next time I'm going to get pulled over, I'm going to say I feel threatened and just take off.
Stop.
I can't confirm your identity.
Listen, Dawn Stensland on 1210 Kalen Company told me to take off if I didn't feel right. So I didn't feel right, so I took off.
Yeah, after the last 4 years, you don't have to comply. It's optional. What the hell?
Yeah, Tyreek.
Yeah.
Speaking of police, Philadelphia Police Department releasing the details, and we've been waiting for this, for the viewings and the funeral, which will happen this week, for fallen officer Jamie Roman. Officer Roman obviously had lost his battle to survive, hospitalized since he was gunned down in the line of duty back in June, leaves behind his wife and children. So the details we have, public viewing will be 5:30 to 8:30, and that will be this Wednesday, September 18th, Givenish Funeral Home, Academy Road there in Philadelphia. And then this Thursday, September 19th, that's when we will see the procession from the Philadelphia Public Services Building to the Cathedral Basilica. That starts 6 a.m., so it'll be during Kalen Company that the services begins. So the public viewings, by the way, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul on Ray Street here, and the funeral services will be held immediately after. So things get underway Thursday, 6 a.m. as far as the procession beginning.
Okay. Great.
So it's a sad week in Philadelphia. I know flags have been flying at half staff. Mayor Sherelle Parker, Commissioner Kevin Bethel, and officers from the 25th Police District where he served, as well as, generally speaking, law enforcement from across the country will represent and be here in Philadelphia this Thursday.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. It's a brotherhood.
So, and as we've reported, the suspect accused of firing at him had, according to the court records and authorities, fired upon officers during a carjacking. That was actually back in Puerto Rico. So a lot of questions swirling as that continues. We've been talking this morning a lot about the campaign trail. I thought I would just break away from Trump, Biden, Harris. Biden here, I'll headline it for you. President Joe Biden here in Philadelphia speaking at day one of the convention for historically black colleges and universities, speaking out. But before that, here in Philadelphia, had called former President Donald J. Trump, wished him well, made sure he was okay, and talked about the second assassination attempt on Trump. As far as Trump, he will be at his first campaign event in Michigan later today. And that's the first campaign event since the second attempt at his life that we've talked a lot about on Sunday. As far as Kamala Harris, the vice president, she will be today in Philadelphia, and this is for a panel at NABJ, that's National Association of Black Journalists, WHYY. Just a traffic note for you, heads up, that panel starts, she's expected to speak starting at 2 p.m. So wherever you are, just think about WHYY, the location here in Philadelphia, and then, mm-hmm. you know, between, let's say, 2 and, you know, 5-ish, there will be traffic shutdowns because the vice president is here in Philadelphia.
Ah, the life of a commuter during an election year in a swing state.
Sorry.
This is what we have to deal with as Pennsylvanians.
I know. Yesterday was a traffic nightmare for people between, 1 and 6.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the real nightmare started at 8:30.
Yeah, I know. Eagles! Jeez. Well, speaking of which, 22 to 21, we talked a lot about it. Obviously, we had A.J. Brown, who's out. A.J. Brown, please get better. He's out with that hamstring injury.
Yep.
And so we'll see if he's, I don't know, can he make a quick recovery?
He said
get some peptides.
He said he told one of the ESPN sideline reporters yesterday that he was going to be out for, quote, weeks.
Yeah, multiple weeks.
Multiple weeks.
Absolutely.
Whereas I think Nick Sirianni earlier in the day said something about, well, you know, it's just a precautionary.
Yeah, but those hammies linger, man. I actually believe the ESPN reporter over Sirianni.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to tip his hand, but yeah, they look so small on the perimeter without A.J. Brown.
Yep.
A.J. Brown's just like this big alpha male, and you look at Devontae Smith, and he's like a little rugrat.
Rugrats.
By the way, where was Bryce Huff last night?
Oh, what, rough game for him?
No, he was not. Did he play?
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
No, I mean, like, he was not part of the game last night.
Oh,
so
he didn't make a big an impact.
No. Did not present, if you will.
Money, huh?
Well, Barkley represented, and of course, they take the ball out of his hands on the opening drive. Yeah, because why throw it? You know, why keep running it when you're getting 9 yards a carry?
It was depressing.
So you can have your quarterback run around outside to the right of the pocket and then just zip it into the fifth row. Oh, get rid of defense. On to the next play.
And it was such, here's the thing, it was such a great night. It was the big debut with Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
We had Nick Foles,
retiring
honorary captain.
Yeah. Horrendous.
That's a
violation. There was his family.
Yep. Yep.
It was just.
Yeah. And did you see Kelce with the
oh my gosh,
the suede Kelly Green zip up sweatsuit?
It's like velour. Yeah. It's like 1980s
Phil,
velour.
Phil, can you play 15 for the people watching on YouTube? Can you play cut 15 or what?
Look at this. What is this? By the way, he's lost a lot of weight.
Can we stop with Jason Kelce?
I know.
Can we stop with Jason Kelce?
I'm so done with it.
I love him.
Now,
looked good, and I am going to buy my husband that exact velour, like jumpsuit thing he had on for Christmas.
What the hell's wrong with you?
We need to have.
Come on, I love that.
We got to have a football election where we take the Manning brothers and the Kelce brothers, and we all vote as a nation, and only one football family can remain on television.
Yep.
The other one has to just ride off into the sunset.
No, he did. He did a great job. He was.
Yeah.
And you know what? He was good luck. He never should have left the booth. See?
Should have never left playing center.
Remember?
They lost to Kirk Cousins, who wasn't he just out on an Achilles?
Yeah, ruptured Achilles last year.
He doesn't move in the
pocket.
He
can't even move, I know.
No, but
they got.
He's like Opelka waddling around to pick up his golf ball.
No,
he did
a good job. He actually.
For Cousins?
Terrible Atlanta team.
We made him look good.
Oh, I agree. Cousins played better than Hurts. Yeah, I give you that. You're right, Dawn.
So it was his comeback night, much to our chagrin.
Yeah.
So if you went to bed with 2 minutes left in the game, my condolences. I'm sorry, because you went to bed thinking, oh, we got this.
Yep.
2 minutes left. 22-21, just a brutal loss. And as far as our Phils, we lost in Milwaukee to the Brewers. Gosh, what a depressing sports night. 6-2.
Good night, everybody.
I know.
Thank God we talk about politics.
Yes.
And we don't have to sit here and
like,
how are you feeling today? Tell us how you're feeling. Don't hold back. I was like, oh, God. Okay.
It is National Constitution Day today.
Hey. Radio.
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Well, for now.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Indeed. I know Greg's like, wrap it up. Toots. That's what he calls me off camera, Toots. I had no sleep. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Don't forget about my day job here, Dawn. You know what I mean? Like, there are people listening.
There are times where I have to sit down with HR.
That are above me. That be like, what's this relationship you have going on with Dawn Stensley?
Oh, all right, let's get back to Ryan Ruth. Come on.
We are sponsored by Indeed today. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. The forecast today, it's going to feel muggy today. So it's cloudy today with the clouds moving in, 80 degrees. Overnight, we'll see rain. And then your next 2 days, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll see much needed rain. But tomorrow is going to be 72 degrees. So this much cooler day tomorrow, we will start to heat back up again on Thursday. By Friday, the rain is out, and then we'll be in for another stretch with sunshine in the 80s, beautiful weather. Allegedly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as we head into the weekend. Thank you, Indeed, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, John, thank you very much. Cut sheet in about 25 minutes. Up next, Howard Stern takes a flamethrower to MAGA. And I'm going to have to defend MAGA on the other side. And, of course, the 7 o'clock hour is underway. It's brought to you by Wawa. Have you heard? Wawa has classic hoagies for just $6. Whether it's the cheesesteak, meatball, or Italian, you can get any classic hoagie, as Dawn would say, for just $6. Because you got to have a Wawa. Kale and Company, Howard Stern, next.
You've heard me talk for years now about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. Mike and Mark Chapman, two brothers, created their business, and it has grown over the past three decades. I love the work they've done in my home, especially during this fall crisp weather. We open up the wall of sliding glass doors that replace some windows in the foyer area. It's probably my favorite spot in the house. They do beautiful work with you. I would only trust the Chapman team for my home. If you are thinking of updating your front entry door, now is the perfect time. For the month of September, Chapman is offering free hardware on a brand new front entry door, or up to the value of $500. An updated front entry door is really going to change. It's like a makeover with just one door. Changes the look of your home, updates it, and obviously is going to change the curb appeal of your home, boosting the resale value. But whether you're looking for a single door, double door, or what about a door with those beautiful side lights, that's what I have, their experienced project consultant is going to help you choose the perfect new door for your home. So if you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, hardware, they do it all, give them a text. You can call them 610-431-8898. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. You can do a virtual tour. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You think about Stern back in the day, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, mid to late 90s, his wheelhouse, terrestrial radio to satellite radio, and he used to be the guy that fought against the establishment. You know, he was the rebellious guy, and now at this point in his career, he's done a complete 180. It's like being a professional wrestler. He went from being the bad guy to being the woke good guy, right? So I get all of that. Which one is the real Howard Stern? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. And I have no problem if Howard Stern says that he hates Donald Trump. I don't really have a problem if he says that he hates Trump supporters. But I want to point out about my experiences with Trump supporters that really, I think, bucks the narrative that the media tries to paint the picture that MAGA Republicans are like these angry, hostile, volatile individuals. And I have been around Trump supporters the entire Trump time, right? Going back to, let's call it 2016. I mean, my wife, my mother-in-law, as I've told you, she's a crazy Democrat, but all of her siblings, she's got five or six brothers and sisters, almost all of them are Trump supporters and Republicans. She's kind of the oddity of the family from a political standpoint. I moved to Nashville in 2018, the middle of Trump's tenure, second year, third year, obviously fourth year, and I didn't come back to Pennsylvania until 2022. And I met many Trump supporters, whether it was in Nashville or outside of Nashville, which is a blue city and a red state. I've met him in Chattanooga. I've met him in Knoxville. I've met him in Memphis and all the little suburbs and, you know, the back road country towns that Tennessee obviously has plenty of when you leave the perimeter of Nashville. I've met Trump supporters in Georgia when I worked for Odyssey in Atlanta. I only went to Atlanta a few times during the pandemic to actually do shows in person. I was working remotely from home in Nashville. Met plenty of Trump supporters. I've had bosses at Odyssey Atlanta and Odyssey Philadelphia that are Trump supporters that will remain unnamed, that are the nicest people you will ever meet. I have met all of you at Parks, at Zlock, at Scottish Rite Auditorium. And every time I meet people, I get cookies. I get Phillies merchandise and apparel. I get a book on how to fix your golf swing. The nicest, most generous people you will meet. And every group, right, whether it's man or woman, every race, every gender, every political party has the fringe that, you know, act up, do something wrong, and then we all sit there and say, well, all of those people are bad people. It's not really the case. I think most people of every group, of every identity, are good people. Of course, there are some that are worse, and we highlight that. But I have never, ever walked in front of a Trump supporter where they weren't just genuinely nice people. And this also, this notion, Howard Stern, and we'll give you Howard's quotes in a minute. you know, they're not a diverse group. Have you seen some of the Trump rallies, especially this time around? Women, Hispanic voters, African-American voters. And every time you talk to anybody, how was the first experience? What was it like at a Trump rally? Oh, everybody couldn't have been nicer. Don, you've, I don't know if, the only thing I've never done in six, going on now 8 or 9 years, I've never actually been to a Trump rally. We were invited from Margo. This was back in May after we had the interview with Trump. When he did the Atlantic City rally, or not, Wildwood. And we couldn't make it because it was last minute. I was out golfing at the point. You had plans. It was a Saturday. It just wasn't going to work time-wise. But I've never come into an environment where I've been around Trump supporters and they were anything but nice and gracious.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a few rallies. That one, it was unfortunate that I wish so badly we could have gone. We had family in town. But I will say that all the rallies and just all the events, that even the one last Thursday with John Jr., I feel like, I don't know what to say. Like, the first rally I went to was, I came home and I said to my husband, these are my people. Like, there's just, I don't know, a camaraderie that we share. And it's as if we all know each other because we're just like-minded. And so that's why it's so insulting when people say, oh, those MAGA supporters. No, we're just people. We're just, like you're saying, a diversity of people, but we just want to work. We want opportunity. We want the government to get out of our way. And we, you know, celebrate our country and our freedom. But I think what we celebrate when we celebrate each other is just, you know, that we love our country. We love our family. And the fact that we are painted as somehow deplorables or evil is such a cheap, low life strategy, because that's all they've got on the other side. They don't have the issues.
And the worst part of all of this, too, is, you know, Trump never attacks Democrat voters. He never rips those who vote for Joe, vote for Kamala, voted for Hillary. Yet the other way around, it's the Democrats and the left. Not only do they attack the politician, but they attack 74 million people. And to your point, yes, you know, they paint them as deplorables and this and that and the other thing. Yeah, I mean, Sid Weiss's late wife, Sarah, what did she do? She I don't know, that had to be $250 worth of cookies that she bought at the bakery in Hatboro, shipped them in here for the election cookies,
Sarah,
with, you know, the Trump and the Kamala cookies. And, you know, dropped off a food drop. The first food drop in 2 years on Kale and Company that wasn't from an actual client was from a Trump supporter in Sarah Weiss. Such an awful human being, right? Such a terrible, deplorable person. Howard Stern says the following on Monday. By the way, very interesting. Howard Stern and Rachel Maddow both working yesterday on the same day. That's a rare day. Quote, this whole idea of you like me, you are good, and if you don't, you are bad. I've seen the victim of this, said Stern, when responding to Trump, saying that he, quote, hates Taylor Swift over the weekend on Truth Social. I don't hate Trump. I hate the people who vote for him. I think they are stupid. I do. I have no respect for them. Stern added that if half of his viewers disagree with his opinion about Trump voters, they should stop listening to his radio show. Newsflash, Howard, a lot of people did years ago. He says, quote, I'm at the end of my career, so F you and listen to another station if you don't like my views on Trump. That was Howard Stern on his show. So, again, you know, I don't know which is the real Stern. I really don't care. And certainly, like, you know, he can have his opinion. I have no problem with him having an opinion on Trump or Trump voters. But this, I just wanted to spend a few minutes here on, you know, the actual Trump voter, because my experience with them, being new to this format, but not new to the party in the last 8 years, is completely counter to what the media portrays and what the Democrats portray. And I would actually encourage Democrats that listen to this show to actually have a conversation with a Trump supporter. Ask them, instead of bashing them, and just taking the two or three talking points that you hear from MSNBC or CNN or what Kamala tweets or what Joe says at a rally or a function, and just say, hey, what is it? What's the appeal to Trump? Why do you like him? What policies? And to what you're talking about, Dawn, and like even the guys like the Joe Rogans of the world who kind of dance around it, you know, like they you feel like they're a Trump person, and then they're like, well, no, actually, I'm endorsing Bobby Kennedy, and I'm not really endorsing Trump because they're scared of the blowback, which is weird because I thought Joe Rogan was like this fearless podcaster who just says whatever's on his mind, but yeah, he walks that back. Like the average Trump voter, like that's not super hardcore into politics. Just like you said, they want the government to leave them alone. They want lower taxes, a better economy, more tough on crime, a border that's actually sealed up, and maybe no wars. Is that such a radical set of ideologies to have as a human being in this country?
No, but it's almost like high school. I mean, Howard Stern is so juvenile in saying this, to say, and this is what Democrats do. They want to attack people who've chosen to support Trump, chosen to be a Republican, chosen to support the policies that they like better under Trump. And so instead of attacking the policy, instead of looking at that, it's, oh no, why would you hang out with that weirdo? He's a loser. I mean, it's really juvenile, and it's high school. It's really the definition of a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And in this country, you know, we're supposed to have free speech. We're supposed to vote for who we believe in. But this is the attitude of people in the media, of celebrities, of Howard Stern, who, by the way, you know, Stern's shtick does not age too well. I think that's why he's tried to scrub a lot of it from the internet.
Well, and look, I don't know if this is like calculated strategy. If they look at whatever their metrics are and they say, oh, we get a ratings bump when we bash Trump, or, you know, Howard gets bombastic about his hate for Trump voters. I have no idea what the motive behind it is. I get it. He's an entertainer. He's putting on a production. But like just the bashing of the Trump supporter all the time, I'm so tired of hearing it.
Yeah, but didn't he appear on the magazine cover with the kittens? I think he's actually the cat lady that J.D. Vance was talking about.
Lost
all of his testosterone.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's so many of these people that I grew up, you know, watching in the 90s, whether it's, you know, Howard Stern's radio show late at night on TV at 11 o'clock in the summer, whether it's the Keith Olbermans that I grew up watching on SportsCenter on ESPN in the 90s. You know, all of these people that were like counterculture, and you thought they were entertaining and cool, and now all of a sudden, it's like complete role reversal. They're the biggest snowflakes on the planet now, or at least they pretend to be for whatever motivation is behind it. And here I am at 40, and I feel like old man get off my lawn. I've gotten more conservative as I've aged, and these people have reverted the opposite way and have gone from being like anti-establishment to just peddling whatever they're told to say. I think that's the most nauseating part of it. Like, do you think Howard Stern would have been talking about Pfizer and all this stuff that we've seen the last 4 years in 1992?
Yes, he's always been a germaphobe.
Ah, he's like a Howie Mandel?
I mean, it's just like his shtick hasn't changed, guys. I mean, it has in the fact, Dawn is right, he's like a lot of the stuff that he, you know, used to do, he's not doing anymore. But a lot of that is because of his age. And I'm not sitting here defending him.
Does he do the X-rated stuff still anymore?
No.
No?
All I'm saying is that he's had outrageous opinions for 40 years. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new. Like that's what he does. So like if you don't like it, I know what you're getting at, Nick. Like you know, you're trying to paint a different picture for Trump supporters. But to you know, this is what guys like him want. They want a reaction. You know what I mean? That's the business we're all in,
mm-hmm.
to get reactions from people.
I get it.
State our opinions.
Yep.
So he has an opinion that you don't agree with. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to him. I don't know.
But this is the part, and it's the timing that bothers me. And this is the other part of the story that I think has kind of been lost in, you know, his bashing of Trump supporters. This is more of the Hitler rhetoric. So later in the show, later in the segment, this is a courtesy of Outkick. A caller calls in and claimed Trump uses the same strategy of communication regarding immigrants as Adolf Hitler did the Jews during the Holocaust. Stern said, quote, I couldn't agree more. Quote, it is the same playbook. We have seen it before in history. Stern responded to comparisons between Trump and Hitler. Hitler was perceived as a clown in Germany, like Trump in the U.S. These are Stern's quotes. He was one of these buffoonish characters. Then he won an election, and that was the end of Germany. You know, that's the part, like, so the guy almost got shot again. So Howard Stern, a day later on his radio show, making the comparisons again to Hitler. Forget threat to democracy and some of the other verbiage that we hear out there. He immediately goes Hitler. And this is where I call out the most obvious hypocrisy here. And I really can't wrap my head around whether it's an entertainer or just an average civilian. If you are Jewish, which Howard Stern is, how do you really have the gumption to sit there and call somebody Hitler that has never killed one Jewish person? After Hitler tried to exterminate and eradicate an entire population, he killed over 6 million Jews. So it's bad enough that anybody says that, because we know Trump's not Hitler. But when you are Jewish and claim that Trump is Hitler, like, don't you have to have a moment with yourself behind closed doors where you sit down and you say, he's really not Hitler. He's really not. Right? Like, you're Jewish. How do you say that? I don't get that. I'm not Jewish. If you are Jewish and you are listening, I would love to hear from you, whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump. How can you, as somebody that's Jewish, tweet us, YouTube us, whatever, how can you say somebody is Hitler as a Jew? I don't get that. I really don't. 855-839-1210 is the number. What's on the cut sheet? You will find out on the other side of Kale and Company. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, we're back after this on a Tuesday morning. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. I told you about Volkswagen yesterday. What about Mazda today? The Mazda CX-30 from my friends at Piazza Mazda. Did you know that Mazda has an extensive crossover and SUV lineup? They have something for everybody. Between the sleek CX-5, the capable CX-50, the three-row CX-90. Remember, folks, yesterday I told you, it's all about the third row. My wife talks about third rows now more than she does our kids. And now, the all-new CX-70. And there's something different for every lifestyle. Piazza Mazda of Westchester and Reading will help you find the one that is right for you with the financing that you need, perhaps as low as 0% APR for 36 months. Visit Piazza Mazda in Westchester and Reading for a personalized test drive. We'll call it the Nick Kale Test Drive. It's personalized just for you. Or shop online at PiazzaMazda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a C40 for $369 per month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception. Except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Visit Cherry Hill Volvo today. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for sponsoring the Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Yesterday, acting United States Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe held a press conference. And what I think, one of the things he said a lot of things. We have all the cuts, but I want to zero in on one of the things he said, where he said there could be, quote, another geopolitical event that puts the U.S. into a, quote, kinetic conflict.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Warning sign. Spoiler alert. Still 49 days to go.
Saying the United States Secret Service members are quote, redlining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Phil, this is cut 6, or I'm sorry, this is cut 16. Cut 16, go.
I have ordered a paradigm shift. The Secret Service's protective methodologies work, and they are sound. And we saw that yesterday. But the way we are positioned right now in this dynamic threat environment.
Stop, stop it. It's working?
Yeah. Yeah, you can get within 300 to 500 yards of a former president who, oh, by the way, is already been shot at, you know, 2 months earlier. I would say it's not working. I mean, if you want to split hairs and say, well, at least this time around, the shooter didn't get a shot fired. Okay, I guess technically you improved a little bit. And, oh, by the way, the first time around, he got within 140 yards. So I guess incrementally they're starting to get back to doing a good job. Sorry.
Isn't there a report you mentioned in the Big Take this morning about all the failures that happened on July 13th?
Yes. Josh Hawley just released the whistleblower report, the official document. It's on his Twitter feed and it's on every website if you want to read it. And he highlighted every single one of them.
If you want to hear that, it's in the Big Take this morning from 6:15. Just go back on the Odyssey app and hit the rewind section. And you can hear that if you missed it this morning. Okay, Phil, you can keep going.
It has given me guidance to say, you know what? We need to look at what our protective methodology is. We need to get out of a reactive model and get to a readiness model. There could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the United States Secret Service. And so we are working, we are making information available to all of our partners. And I just want to say that the commitment of Congress to the Secret Service throughout the years has been tremendous. And we will continue to work with them and Secretary Mayorkas, whose support in making sure that we're getting what we need has been phenomenal. He is one of our biggest champions and our advocate. And so we're having these conversations, and I feel confident that we will get what we need. We have immediate needs. We have future needs, too. I need to make sure that our counter-snipers are the best-trained counter-snipers in the world, that they are exactly doing what we need them to do, and that they match counterparts in the military in Tier 1 forces. And right now, we are working with Congress to make sure that we get those for our training facility. We also have a necessary need to make sure that we're getting the personnel that we have. And that requires us to be able to have the funding to be able to hire more people. You can't just give me money and say, hey, we're going to make sure that everybody gets overtime. Because the men and women of the Secret Service right now, we are redlining them. And they are rising to this moment, and they are meeting the challenges right now. And if you look back at their body of work over the last 60 days, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, the Republican National Convention in Chicago, a visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu to Washington, D.C., and to West Palm Beach, which Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office supported. And then we go into the presidential debate in Philadelphia last week. And for those in the media that have been to a national special security event, if you saw the National Constitution Center last week, what you saw was pretty much a mini national special security event with the number of assets that were on that perimeter. Hmm. Okay. And so our folks are rising to this moment, but it requires all of us to be able to have good conversations and make sure that we're getting the Secret Service where it needs to be. And I'm confident that we will achieve that.
He's like, yeah. He's like Nick Sirianni.
I was just going to say that.
After last night's game.
Well, I got four out of my six decisions correct, but I did have two gaffes. But here's the ones that actually panned out.
Yep.
No, July 13th didn't pan out. September 15th didn't pan out. And that is Ronald Rowe, the empty suit, who is now replacing, fired, resigned, a disgraced Kimberly Cheadle, who faced all the heat and the pressure after the failures of July 13th. So let's pinpoint and zero in here on some of his verbiage. Geopolitical event and kinetic conflict. Okay, well, what are you telling us, boss? Are there more threats out there? Yeah. Are there more attempts being made? Because I said an hour ago that if you end up letting this guy get killed, you're going to have a kinetic conflict, a geopolitical event. And ask yourself, is that what they want? Is that what this is all about? And by the way, did you know that the American federal budget for 2024 is $5.6 trillion.
Oh, God.
$5.6 trillion.
Yeah.
So you got this big war chest, right? And you got $5.5 trillion sitting in it. I have no idea what dollar amount gets allocated to Secret Service protection, but how about we stop some of the absurd stuff like car charging ports for seven of them that don't work across the country and you spend $8 billion on it? How about you just maybe invest more resources to Donald Trump's Secret Service detail? I don't know. Maybe if he's on hole six, he should feel like by the time he gets to hole 12, he's safe and secure.
I will say that for Ron Rowe Jr., he inherited this hot mess, right? So they're having a major shakeup right now.
Yeah.
And this is a result of a couple things we've been through. First of all, defund the police, but also DEI the police, DEI the military and law enforcement. And so I think that they have to evaluate that, and you know, we talked about it, we saw the images, you know, of and it was embarrassing for me as a woman, you know, and I felt for the one Secret Service agent, July 13th, and they did a whole thing. You had a bad day because she's trying to holster her firearm, yep. her sidearm, and she can't do it. And it's like, oh, my God.
It's the worst.
It was the worst. And that's just it. You insult competent women when you just hire people because of the way they look, yep. mm-hmm. right, or their gender, their ethnic, whatever. You insult that group of people
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I want the most bad A, you know, the Game of Thrones soldier woman with the blonde hair who's like 7 feet tall. Like, if you're right, you want the toughest, biggest, most competent woman or man in that job. And so the fact that they DEI'd it, they really lowered the standard by doing that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know you highlighted how Ronald Rowe is, you know, he's stepped into the hot mess. He's in cleanup damage control mode. But you know what? Honestly, it doesn't really matter who's in that role, whether it's Ronald Rowe, Ronald McDonald. it doesn't matter. They're all empty suits. Yeah. And if the whole thing is as tainted and as corrupt as we all believe it is, meaning the FBI, and, you know, you heard Vivek say, oh, we could get rid of like 40% of FBI jobs, the desk people, the bureaucrats. Obviously, you keep the ones that protect people and things like that and thwart, you know, terrorism attempts. But, I mean, seriously, if the agency is just littered with corrupt skunks, then I have no... Why should I give Ronald Rowe the benefit of the doubt? Is he really any different than Kimberly Cheadle?
Well,
that would be just my counter to
that. I don't know, but I think that it's a hot mess right now. And that's why we need leadership. And the problem is... That we now learn that for Kimberly Cheadle, you know, that she made her way through the ranks, was a favorite of First Lady Jill Biden, and then promoted. You know, that's not the way to promote people. To say, oh, well, remember, she was a nice young lady, and she liked our dog and played, you know what I mean? Like, really? And that's the qualification? Mm-hmm. So let's get back to high-quality leadership, putting the best, promoting the best people within these jobs, and making sure that they know what they're doing.
Yep. I agree.
Ronald Rowe says that the would-be assassin did not have a line of sight on Trump. So I guess we have that to hang our hats on.
Yeah.
Cut for Phil, go.
Good afternoon, everybody. Yesterday afternoon, this country was reminded of the heightened and dynamic threat environment that the United States Secret Service and its protectees face on a daily basis. Immediately following the assassination attempt of former President Donald J. Trump on July 13th, the Secret Service moved to increase assets to an already enhanced security posture for the former president. In the days that followed, President Biden made it clear that he wanted the highest levels of protection for former President Trump and for Vice President Harris. The Secret Service moved to sustain increases in assets and the level of protection sought. And those things were in place yesterday. At approximately 1:30 p.m., former President Trump was playing golf during an off-the-record movement to the Trump International Golf Course. A Secret Service advance agent supporting the front edge of the agency's layered approach to protection encountered an individual attempting to secrete himself in the woodline.
This happened.
Wow. The alleged gunman was on the public side of the fence near the sixth green. A layered approach of security is integral to the Secret Service's protective methodologies.
Integral.
And it's also the key to our success. As former President Trump was moving through the fifth fairway across the course and out of sight of the sixth green, the agent, who was visually sweeping the area of the sixth green, saw the subject armed with what he perceived to be a rifle and immediately discharged his firearm. The subject, who did not have line of sight to the former president, fled the scene. He did not fire or get off any shots at our agent.
There you go.
Okay. So I don't really think that should make you feel any better by any stretch. So for those, and if you're a golfer, you understand what I'm laying out, but I'll just assume for the sake of conversation, most people do not play golf. So if Trump is in the fifth fairway, I mean, let's say he's got another 150, 200 yards to get to the fifth green. Once he finishes playing the fifth hole, depending on the layout of that course, the sixth tee box could be 12 yards away. Or it could be 1,000 yards and he has to drive over a bridge, over a creek, you know, through a neighborhood, through homes, whatever, to get to the next tee box. So the guy in the woods, in the shrubs, is around the sixth green. So if you just kind of figure out the normal pace of play, Donald Trump would have been within shooting range at point blank range, probably within 15 to 20 minutes. And knowing Trump, he plays golf really quick. And he's moving, he's motorized, zipping around, probably plays an 18-hole round in 2.5 hours. That Trump was going to encounter Ryan Ruth in probably less than 20 minutes. So, okay, maybe at that moment when that guy was scouting at the next hole, he saw that guy and got, gratefully, he did. But, like, oh, he wasn't with it. They're almost trying to sound like he was not in danger. He was, I mean, so we're talking in July 13th of Butler. What, 4 millimeters, 2 millimeters, something like that, an inch and a half away from dying, and this time around could have very well have been 20 minutes. And also think about this as well. Thomas Matthew Crooks was, you know, looking down at a bunch of people. There's people behind Trump on the stage. You're out there on a golf course. You're like a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think Trump was a sitting duck in front of that podium in Butler. Imagine if he's just going up to mark his ball on the green. And there's, you know, he literally is like a deer just trotting out onto the fairway.
It was an off-the-record golf outing, so how did everybody know that, you know, Ralph, particularly Ralph, Ruth.
Ruth.
Yes, I know it's Ruth. I just like to say Ralph.
Why do these people got to spell things so terribly?
How did he know he was there? This was cut 7, Phil, go.
The sheriff mentioned about the highest level of protection that they would lock down the golf course. Was that a miscommunication then, being that President Biden ordered the highest level of protection?
Do you want to take this, Sheriff?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So here's the deal. When it comes to Secret Service protection, we provide the highest level. So, for example, yesterday, counter-assault team elements. I'm not going to go into the number of personnel that we have out there, but we have the highest levels from Secret Service. When we work with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, like, for example, yesterday, during that emergency action response, we had their local tactical team assets partner with our local tactical team assets. We had their helicopter up in the air, providing us 360 and situational awareness of the overhead for any, if there were any potential threats coming to at us. So what we did yesterday was exercise our emergency plan based on the number of tactical assets and the highest level of protection that we are providing. The sheriff and I have talked. Now, clearly, when you go down Southern Boulevard right now and you try to get over to Palm Beach and you see the robust presence that's existing outside of Mar-a-Lago.
We're there
the
now.
Heavy uniform presence. The additional assets of the Secret Service. And for those of you that were here in 2017, when the president was in office, when you look at that footprint now and you look at it today, there's not much difference there. There is heavy uniform presence out there. And again, what I go back to is yesterday was an off-the-record movement. Off the record. And the president wasn't even really supposed to go there. It was not on his official schedule. And so we put together a security plan, and that security plan worked.
Okay, so again, I want to know then, how did Ryan Ruth just miraculously show up Saturday night as the calendar flipped over to Sunday after midnight, set up shop, have food, put his book bag there? What was he waiting for? Like Bambi to prance out on the sixth green? He just miraculously stumbled into Donald Trump?
Let's address that. This is Ronald Rowe on the Trump shooter. Showing cellular data that he was in the vicinity of the golf course 12 hours before the engagement. This is cut 6. Phil, go.
Cellular data shows that the subject was in the vicinity of the golf course roughly 12 hours before the engagement with the United States Secret Service. Our investigative teams conducted a neighborhood canvas in an effort to collect and obtain relevant video footage. The subject had an active online presence, and we are going through what he posted and any searches he conducted online. In addition, we're going through media reports and public statements he made that he wanted to recruit Afghan soldiers and others to fight for Ukraine. The FBI has sent multiple requests to companies for returns on the subject's phone and social media accounts. We received several returns and are waiting on additional responses from other companies as well. Our investigative team is completing analysis of the returns and actioning leads as needed. And we anticipate continuing until the FBI knows the full totality of the subject's social media presence.
Oh, boy.
All right, so there's pre-puberty Josh Shapiro.
Stop.
That guy instills no confidence.
Oh, God. Yeah, stick him in the closet. Leave him there. Put him in the bathroom and leave him there. I mean, so first of all, you know, let's examine, because we're hearing the phrase and the cliche now, the highest level, whether it's the FBI or the Secret Service. If this is the highest level is not good enough, okay? Because, twice in 67 days, you've had an assassination attempt on the President of the United States. And again, I want to know how Ryan Ruth just decided to get there, and Donald Trump miraculously shows up.
Or, to your point, Nick, you mentioned this earlier. Phil, just run the video of Cut 14, if you will. This is MSNBC talking about this that day, and they have the video, right? They have video.
You're going to see, here's the footage of Trump zipping around in his cart, gets out, probably looking for his ball or whatever he's doing. And this is, I don't know which fairway that is or what green he's approaching, but obviously he only got to about the fifth hole. So just by common sense, he's somewhere between holes one and four, and MSNBC had camera footage.
And Dawn, you said that there might just be a pool cam there.
Is there some, I mean, well, for rallies, for campaign rallies, generally a campaign would release a pool cam. But is there some kind of a pool feed? Are there, I know that they're
at
looking.
At his golf course?
There could be.
Wow. This is Trump International in West Palm. And you can see Trump's all the way across the other side of the grass. So this camera is like, I don't know, 50 yards away. 20 yards away, zoomed in. I don't really know.
Just to be fair, can we just say, though, that this isn't like stock footage or...
This is...
It says earlier, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess...
This is him moments before it happened.
You know, there were... You know, when you talk to people in law enforcement, they're saying nowadays... So what they have to look at is obviously they're scouring through, you know, Ruth's, through the suspects, all of his pings, his phone, his conversation, cell towers, but also think about Amazon trucks. All are equipped with video cameras. Now they have to think about all the different video cameras and how this guy might be somehow tracking the information. I think so. Security is a new game.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody like, if you're in Secret Service or protection, it's like you want a Ray Donovan kind of a guy.
Yeah.
You know, guarding Trump. You want good somebody reference. Who thinks like a criminal and thinks outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's a new day and a new time.
855-839-1210. Let me grab this call. Ron is in South Jersey, and he wants to make a point about what transpired on Sunday. Ron, you go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I heard yesterday that this guy was playing this like he was out there about 12 hours, and they never saw a car parked on the street there for 12 hours. That would be easy to find and see, and no one paid attention to that.
I'm
curious about that.
Yeah, no, Ron, you make a good point. And think about this, because we found out it was a black Nissan. An eyewitness saw the vehicle and the plate, and ultimately they apprehended this guy. I think it was 30 minutes later. So let's just take that black Nissan for a moment. You've got a Trump golf property, okay? This is not Allentown Municipal, all right? And you've got to have a black Nissan parked on the other side of the property, of the bushes, presumably on a street corner, a curb, whatever it might be. And that vehicle has gone unnoticed from 1 in the morning till the sun comes up, until 1:30 in the afternoon. Secret Service shoots at this guy. He skedaddles out of the bushes, gets in the vehicle, and if it's not for the eyewitness, we don't know anything about this guy today, probably. Although this guy's been on their radar for a long time.
Yeah, I do think it's kind of odd that MSNBC had stock footage of that. not stock footage, but footage.
Yeah, I need to know exactly what that camera is, who was filming it, where did they get it from, everything.
What did you say about CNN, too? They had...
I read something yesterday that CNN had stopped broadcasting, and I know MSNBC had done this, because remember Rachel Maddow gave us that dissertation, we will not air Trump rallies because it's the same thing and we can't verify what he's saying. It's like, no, you, stop, you're not the editor. But CNN apparently had stopped airing live rallies as well, yet... For whatever reason, and I remember this because I was with my mother-in-law in Kutztown at that football game on that Saturday night of July 13th, CNN broke in live to the rally right after the shooting occurred. So either CNN does have a camera there all the time, which I'd like to think they do, and they're a news organization.
Ted Dawn's point, the pool cameras, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of when they decide to basically flip the switch. Is that it? Because it seems odd that
I mean, they're going to always send a reporter out there.
Yeah, of course.
In case he says something newsworthy.
There's got to be some presence there, right?
Of course. But, you know, I don't know. It is odd to me. Having an MSNBC camera, or let's just say NBC camera there, is just odd to me. Yep. Trump addressed all of this last night on Spaces. He described what happened during the most recent assassination attempt. Let's start here with cut 17, Phil. Go.
So, Mr. President, I can say that myself, like I was saying, the crypto community and, you know, millions of Americans are relieved that you're here with us today after the second attempt your life.
Can you stop
at
this
the
for
Trump
a second?
National Golf Club.
Can you stop this for a second? Who's doing this interview?
I was going to say, who is that?
I'm Mr. President. I'd just like to say that I'm just having...
Is that one of those where you can raise your hand virtually and get in to ask a question?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. All right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take us off the... I just have to comment.
Leave the kid alone.
Sorry. Sorry.
Can you run us through what happened?
So I was playing golf with some of my friends. It was on a Sunday morning and very peaceful, very beautiful weather. Everything was beautiful. It was a nice place to be. And all of a sudden, we heard shots being fired in the air, and I guess probably four or five. And it sounded like bullets, but what do I know about that? But Secret Service knew immediately it was bullets. And they grabbed me, and I think probably the other one, Steve is one of the people, Steve Witkoff, a great friend of mine, a great, great businessman from mostly New York and Florida, great businessman, and a more importantly, just a fantastic person. So we're in the group, and everybody we got into the carts, and we moved along pretty good. I was with an agent, and the agent did a fantastic job. There was no question that we were off that course. I would have loved to have sank that last putt, but we decided, let's get out of here. And what the gunfire was actually, interestingly, was a Secret Service agent had seen a barrel of a AK-47, which is a very powerful gun, rifle, and he started shooting at the barrel, started shooting in the bushes.
Wow.
Could only see the barrel. How good is that, right? But could only see the barrel. Based on that, he started shooting and ran toward the target and was shooting a lot of, I mean, those were the shots we heard. The other one never got a shot off. And he ran across the street and grabbed his car, hopped into his truck or car. And amazingly, a civilian in that area saw something and it looked very suspicious. And in the car, drove their car to the back of his truck of some kind and took pictures of the license plate, gave him to the sheriff's office. Sheriff Bradshaw is fantastic, very great sheriff for a long time. And within a fairly short period of time, they tracked him down on the highway. It was a pretty high-speed chase. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting him. They got him.
You know, I want to go back to some of the specifics that Trump lays out there. So, yes, we now, based on certainly on first-hand knowledge, Trump says that the shooter did never get a shot, never got a shot off, but it was Secret Service upon seeing the barrel fired four or five times. So we have Secret Service agents that shoot five times and that they don't hit the suspect? Is this a shooting in Philly overnight that Dawn's reporting on? Or just random gunfire,
well, they were
random
shooting,
bullets?
They were shooting into the bush, I guess.
I know. But.
And so he goes over, he gets out of there, according to Trump, goes across the street, gets in his vehicle. No Secret Service agent was able to get to the vehicle or get to the guy until 30 minutes?
Talk to any sniper. They don't miss.
Yeah,
They don't miss. They just don't.
But they were with him, right?
Yeah.
They had like a side. Did they have a rifle? I thought that I inferred that they have a handgun.
Okay. See, I'm thinking of the agent with Trump, you know, riding in his cart, you know, next to him probably.
But they don't walk around with rifles, do they?
No, I don't think so. But there might have been somebody that's positioned up further. Like, I want to know about the guy who's the go-ahead guy, the guy that goes and scouts out the next hole. I'd like to know where he was positioned, how far away he was when he saw it, if it was him or other agents that opened fire on the shooter. And to your point, Greg, I mean, these are, again, let's go back to the quote of Ronald Rowe. These are of the highest level.
Yep.
How are high-level guys go 0 for 4 or 0 for 5?
Well, and plus that, I would say this, you know, you think about, I think about high school football games. We've got somebody operating a drone, mm-hmm. right? Why don't you, it doesn't take another human being, another body, or much money to have a drone up ahead.
Correct.
And just monitor the perimeter that way.
Yes. And as I said in Josh Hawley's whistleblower report, they were offered, Secret Service was offered in Butler in July to have Butler use drone surveillance. And they said, no thanks. No thanks.
He mentioned the body camera footage when they finally captured him. The Martin County Sheriff Department released said body cam footage of the Trump assassination suspect, Ryan Routh, as he was caught. Phil, if you can run cut 8, my friend, go.
Straight back!
They have him out of the car. They have his hands up. There he is with his hands up and his shirt up, and they take him in. Mm-hmm. Arrested there.
Yeah. Sorry. And he looked awfully peaceful getting arrested, didn't he? I mean, this we heard from the counterterrorism FBI expert in the Big Take that said that this guy was, in fact, according to the history of, you know, understanding these motives of these people that act, that he was politically radicalized by things such as Trump is Adolf Hitler. So, yeah.
I just think the biggest question now that everybody is asking is the most important piece of this investigation that I don't see in the headlines that much. And that is, did this guy just get incredibly lucky, sit there for 12 hours? Or how did he in the world happen to be there at that moment? And yet, you know, you look at your Big Take starting out this morning, Nick, looking at the media and the headlines in the media, victim blaming Trump as far as, well, it's your fault, basically, because, you know, your rhetoric. Mm-hmm. This is the actual question, the follow-up question that the media should focus on. But where do you see people really asking that? Really, this guy got lucky? Mm-hmm. Really? That's pretty lucky.
It's just amazing. It's very hard when you look at both of these situations now and you recap both of them with the knowledge that we do have in totality that both people just got lucky both times. Routine, normal, pre-event protocol not followed. I mean, come on. Have any of these protocols not been followed for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Dr. Jill, Dougie? I mean, remember, we go back to July. July was a busy day, right? That Saturday, July 13th, Kamala Harris, Jill Biden, and Donald Trump were all in PA. Now, when you look at the last 9 years, who would you say is the higher asset to protect based on threats made in their direction? I would argue Donald Trump. Why was he given the scrap leftovers? And you could, well, Kamala's in the current administration. Well, Dr. Jill, I got that.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, when you have a $5.6 trillion budget, why don't you shift some of those dollars around?
Trump on a little bit more from the shooting that I believe this is the first time he's spoken out publicly about this. I know he's posted stuff to Truth and stuff, but this is the first time he's spoken out about this publicly. He did it last night on Spaces. This is cut 18, Phil, go.
And backup question to that second fold is, you know, this was the second attempt in your life in under 2 months. What do you make of that?
Well, there's a lot of rhetoric going on. Right. A lot of people think that the Democrats, when they talk about threat to democracy and all of this, mm-hmm. And it seems that both of these people were radical lefts. The first one, they should learn more about. They have apps that they haven't opened yet, which is pretty strange. And the father went out and got the biggest lawyer in the state of Pennsylvania, which is pretty strange, about the father of the shooter. We're talking about in Butler, the first one. And that's pretty strange. There are a couple of pretty strange things going on there. I can say this, the Secret Service was very brave in the sense that bullets were flying. And they, when I went down, I purposely went down. I saw what was happening and people are probably screaming. I'm not sure if I recognize that, but I went down and Secret Service, they were right there with bullets flying right mm-hmm. at them. And they weren't hit, but three other people were, Corey, a firefighter, and two other gentlemen that who they thought died. And actually, the doctors in Butler were unbelievable. They saved their lives. And we've actually raised a lot of money for the families and family of Corey and the two gentlemen. And they both lived. They thought they were dead. The first thing I asked when I came up, I said, how many people are dead? Because we had a massive crowd. And with all those bullets flying, so three got hit. But there was a great display of bravery. I mean, it was incredible. Normally, the crowd experts will tell you when they hear bullets, and we heard a lot of bullets going off.
Right.
A crowd would, this was a massive crowd. You couldn't even see the end of it in a big field. And that the crowd always runs. They call it a stampede, like cattle. I mean, they stampede, and a lot of people get killed when they stampede. But they hear bullets, but nobody ran.
They all stayed.
You know, tens of thousands of people. Nobody ran. In fact, you can see it in the small group behind me. There was a group of probably a couple of hundred people behind me. And nobody ran. In fact, they're standing up. Some of them are standing up looking for the shooter. The other one has to get credit, the local law enforcement. It was a gentleman that shimmied up to the roof, looked, saw the man with a gun, and probably made him go faster than he would normally go. And so he didn't exactly hit the target the way he wanted. There's something going on. I mean, perhaps it's God wanting me to be president to save this country.
All right, so that was a very interesting conversation there. You know, I had a call and he dropped, but I was just researching this because I wanted to take his call in regards to Trump. So if you dropped off and you were of the opinion that Trump is always golfing on a Sunday, I forget your name, but you were on my board. Well, Trump might always golf on a Sunday, but I just looked it up. Donald Trump owns 16 golf courses worldwide, ranging from obviously Bedminster, New Jersey, Pine Hill, New Jersey, which is, you know, technically the Philadelphia club, all the way down to Charlotte, to Florida, to Los Angeles, to overseas across the pond. So if you're going to try to argue, well, if you want to find Trump on a Sunday, you could probably find him in a golf course. Okay. Well, if he's got 17, what are the odds of you finding the exact course that he's on at the exact time? I mean, come on. I mean, let's be real.
I'll also point out that even though, you know, we're reporting this as the second assassination attempt, let us not forget that about a month after the July 13th after July 13th, we learned in August that on July 12th, one day before, a man who's charged with murder for hire from Iran or with Iranian ties mm-hmm. was arrested and is charged with murder for hire and wanted to take out Trump.
Yeah.
So technically, two people are under arrest, mm-hmm. accused in wanting to be a hitman to kill Trump. One, they shot and killed as he was, you know, opening fire on Trump. We have three.
Yeah. Think about this. I mean, you don't know if Iran wants you dead, your own federal government wants you dead, the Democrats want you dead. Is it just the crazies that happen to get lucky? Again, I don't think it's lucky. But they're certainly crazy, because if you're Thomas Matthew Crooks or you're Ryan Ruth, sane people with firearms don't do things like this.
Joy Reid last night felt the need to make this about race. She wanted to point out that both the would-be Trump assassins were, quote, not minorities. Cut 19, Phil, go.
We are learning more about what the FBI is calling an apparent assassination attempt on Donald Trump yesterday. It's the second attempt in 9 weeks, and in both cases, the individuals were not minorities, undocumented immigrants, or someone from Haiti or Venezuela. Nope, they were white guys with guns. They were both registered Republicans. In fact, the suspect from this weekend's incident, who has been identified as 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Roof, voted for Trump in 2016 before apparently becoming disillusioned with him. Roof made his first appearance in a Florida courtroom this morning, charged with illegal possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession of a weapon with an obliterated serial number. He has an extensive criminal record in North Carolina that includes a 2002 conviction for possessing a weapon of mass destruction, a machine gun. Strangely enough, Ruth was actually interviewed by the New York Times last year about his vocal support for Ukraine in its war against Russia, a war he attempted to fight in, but he says he was rejected by Ukraine's military because he was too old.
So again, this is what happens when you live in the identity bubble, identity politics bubble that people like Joy Reid live in. They immediately want to know all of the identity politics of a suspect or a victim, regardless of the motive. To me, this is so obvious and apparent. Number one, this guy's mentally ill. And number two, it is the same rhetoric that we hear over and over. So if this guy is clearly out to lunch, as we like to say, and you hear for 8 years about how bad Trump is, and these people never take a stinking day off, what happens? Eventually, the crazy people act. And I don't care if he's a Republican, if he's white, if he's black, if he's a Democrat. That really shouldn't matter. It's what manifested and built and was got to the point where this guy, no different than a school shooting, that, you know, what do we see all the time? We've seen for the last 2 years of this show, how many school shootings have occurred because of somebody that is going through a mental health breakdown that happens to, oh, by the way, identify in the LGBTQ crowd. And what have we always heard from the Democrats? What do they do? The LGBTQ community is under attack. So if you feel like you're constantly under attack, and you might be dealing with mental issues, what happens? You erupt like Mount Vesuvius.
Hillary Clinton was the guest on Rachel Maddow's program last night.
Boy, they had all the big guns out last night. Rachel, Hillary, Joy.
Hillary needed to bring up the fact that Trump says that he wants to be a dictator on day one. I don't know how helpful this is. Cut 20. I don't know how helpful she is for the liberals, but cut 21, Phil, go.
Americans need to understand that they have to take Trump both seriously and literally. He has said what he wants to do. He and his allies with Project 2025, his desire to be a dictator at least on day one, all of that is in the public record.
Okay, so again, we have the fair... the fair line of Project 2025. I mean, again, I feel like I'm just repeating myself. It's like, you know, how many times does he have to say that he is not in any way, shape, or form connected directly with Project 2025? He's even gone as far as saying he doesn't know anything about it. I don't know if I believe that, but I don't. Here's the thing. Hillary Clinton and all of these hacks. And by the way, when you say not great for the liberal cause, you say Hillary or Rachel Maddow, just to clarify.
No, Hillary Clinton needs to... I mean, if Rachel Maddow's goal is to get Kamala Harris elected, and I assume that's what it is.
Yes.
Trotting Hillary Clinton out all the time does not help her cause.
So let's actually stay on that path, because I think that's the more interesting path instead of regurgitating all the debunked stuff from Hillary. I don't know. And I said this yesterday with Joe Biden doing the tour for HBCUs and the NABJ. If I'm Kamala Harris, just from a pure objective look from 30,000 feet above, I don't need Joe or Hillary. I mean, first of all, Hillary lost 8 years ago, so I don't know what she thinks she can actually offer or run on, other than the fact that she apparently told Kamala to get under skin, the skin of Trump at the debate, which apparently worked. But Joe Biden, I mean, the guy got replaced. The guy was losing massive support with the black voter. You think Joe's going to get that back for you now as the black candidate?
Yeah.
I think that's a major miscalculation.
And if your whole mantra on the campaign trail is turn the page, we saw that that cringe Gwen Walls clip from yesterday with the crazy eyes where she's like, turn the page, turn the page, turn the page. Like, if you're turning the page, like, turn the page on Hillary and Biden.
I know. Yes, you want to turn the page on the Trump era, and you're bringing out one guy who's older than Trump.
Yep.
And the lady that he beat 8 years ago.
One more Hillary Clinton clip here. She calls for criminal charges and civil penalties against Americans who engage in spreading propaganda. I think there's a word for this. Cut 20, Phil, go.
Russians, just as Mueller indicted a lot of Russians who were engaged in direct election interference and boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
Wow.
So let's go through the companies that spread misinformation. ABC News, CBS News, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, Politico, Huffington Post, NPR, Newsweek. Speaking of Newsweek, let me just read this tweet from Newsweek. I thought this was amazing. And we talk about people having their lives almost snatched away from them. And, you know, who's to blame? This was Newsweek back in October of 2023. It was actually October 1st, 2023. Headline: Trump supporters highly likely to try to kill people in 2024. That's the headline of a column written by Thomas Kaika, K-A-K-A. Trump supporters highly likely to try to kill people in 2024. Well, here we are, 9.5 months into 2024, and it seems to me like it's Donald Trump that's on the receiving end of possible death.
But you think about how the media is complicit. As I always am saying this, that you have this, you talked about Howard Stern. You think about the so-called mainstream media. You think about the celebrities and as well the progressive far left and their talking points. They're all saying that not only is Trump dangerous to democracy, but those who support Trump, those voters, those Americans who support Trump. Think about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so who is the one with the hate has no home here sign in their front yard who is seemingly encouraging action against these individuals because, they're dangerous, they're mm-hmm. scary, they're weird.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's terrible.
Yep. On the same line of the policing speech, which is something that is in my wheelhouse. And, getting back to what she said about, people being charged for spreading misinformation and all that stuff. You guys, you know me. I hate spreading misinformation.
Or falling for things on social media.
I absolutely hate it. I will call it out whenever I see it. I do my best to fact check things before I say them.
Can we stop getting our news from Twitter?
But also, I don't think that, who is determining what's fake?
I know.
And what's not. That's the scary thing.
Yes. That's state-run media right there.
Yep.
That's what you get in China and other countries that take away your free speech rights and tell you what you see on the TV or what you read in the paper is true. This goes back, and maybe we'll play more of these clips and we'll do a big take on it again tomorrow and go back into it. But, this is where they are losing their mind because they don't have 100% control over the narrative and the dissemination of information anymore. Elon Musk purchasing X has allowed other viewpoints to be out there. Whether they're accurate or not is not up for the government to decide and or punish people by saying, oh, that's not real, you're going to jail.
Sarah Haynes from The View yesterday kind of expounded on this a little bit. She said, the one step before violence is hate speech, and we have no regulation because of the First Amendment. She almost sounds disgusted by the fact that we can't regulate any of this or hate speech or whatever you call it because of that pesky First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Cut nine, Phil. Go.
Well, we have to elevate our rhetoric. That's the problem is for 10 years, there's been a normalizing of, he or she didn't mean that, or they were just speaking that way. The way our politicians are speaking right now, we never would have seen that 20 years ago. There's a point where there's an out of bounds and there's no longer bounds at all. People will say and do anything. And it's not just on the national level, this trickle down if we're seeing it in politicians, but somehow that's come all the way down. And a lot of that's due to technology and social media, the reach. Yeah. There's always hate speech. There's always been awful things said. But now the reach of that hate speech is great. There are countries, even in Europe, that have created the no hate speech movement, which the one step before violence is that hate speech. And we have no regulation because we live in a country that I understand values the First Amendment, but there's got to be a way that whether it's regulating social media, that communities have to come together and change this.
Well, I mean, first of all, if you want to be fair, if you look at where the rhetoric comes from, I mean, just seriously, look at the left with the inflammatory. I mean, I don't know of any Republicans calling anybody on the Democrat side of the party Hitler, which actually might be more applicable considering they've taken such a hardline stance on being pro-Gaza and pro-Hamas and against Israel and against the Jewish people. I mean, they made Bibi Netanyahu wait to talk to Kamala behind closed doors. She wasn't even present. But yes, when you talk about hate speech, doesn't mean there's not consequences. There are consequences for your hate speech. But here's what is so frustrating about this when it pertains to the First Amendment, specifically with social media. If you don't like what you see, leave. Right? The Democrats, think about this for a second. They shout from the hilltops, if Trump gets reelected, I'm leaving the United States. Yet they don't like something on social media, so they stick around. If you don't like what X is or what Rumble is or what Truth is, then go back to the safe space. Go to Facebook. Hang out in Metaverse. Hey, that's fine. Nobody's forcing you to be there, right?
One more on the Trump assassin. Martin County Sheriff William Snyder yesterday openly suggested the possibility of a broader conspiracy in a press conference discussing the capture of Ryan Routh, a would-be assailant arrested with an assault rifle in a failed assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. This is cut 10, Phil Go.
We saw him. How was he driving when we saw him? He was smart. He was just driving with the flow of traffic. Yeah, I think that he may have thought he got away with it. Of course, he couldn't have known that there was a witness who really did the right thing, took a picture of him, took a picture of the tag. He was just going to drive himself back to wherever he came from.
Did he have any, to your knowledge, any ties to Martin County or the Treasure Coast?
Yeah, to my knowledge, does he have any ties to Martin County? I think the answer, to my knowledge, the answer is no, I have no knowledge. I think what we're finding out, he's not from this area, which of course raises the bigger question is, how does a guy from not here get all the way to Trump International, realize that the president, former president of the United States is golfing, and is able to get a rifle in that vicinity? I think that's the question the FBI, the Secret Service are laser focused on today. Is this guy part of a conspiracy? Is he a lone gunman? If he's a lone gunman, President Trump is that much safer because we have him. But if he's part of a conspiracy, then this whole thing really takes on a very ominous tone.
And Sheriff, you mentioned the witness.
There he is, Martin County Sheriff, really echoing the sentiments I had in a big take this morning. Just no, it's just purely too coincidental that that guy would be there Saturday night at 1 a.m. when Donald Trump, like, so we need to find out, when was the decision made for Donald Trump to play golf at Trump International?
Yeah.
Was that made Saturday night at 7 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If so, then how between 7 p.m. on Saturday night, hypothetically, and 1 a.m. Saturday night into Sunday morning, does this guy set up shop? And what was the communication? What were the details of the... I want to know, forget the fact that the cell phone data shows he was in behind those bushes for 12 hours. I want to know where he was throughout the day Saturday. And I hope we get that information. Remember, when Thomas Matthew Crooks first happened, we got more and more information. Well, he was spotted back by the barn. Then he was over here. Then he was out of sight. I want to know, because you can track everybody with cell phones, what was this guy doing throughout the day Saturday and into Saturday evening? And I really want to know when Trump actually made that decision to go golf, because my sense is that something happened and there was communications relayed. But then again, when you have the highest level people out there, as Mr. Rose says,
yeah,
you know, the highest of the high.
I just think it is chilling to me that we know, for example, because Chris Wray, the FBI director, has held news conferences, answered questions about the fact that at least 100 of these people listed on as terrorists are in this country.
Uh-huh.
And they know that. They caught hundreds, but there's still at least 100 that they know of that are out there. And then you have the guy who is charged but remains missing, who wanted to take out Bolton. Remember that story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was a year ago. That was last summer. So where's that guy? So in other words, we know that these threats are active, and we know that the one guy they arrested and charged as the hitman, who was caught in Texas, that guy, as you know, trying to hire people, had all kinds of cash.
Mm-hmm.
The guy in the Bolton case had $300,000. That was what he was offering.
Mm-hmm.
So the question too is this money. You know, how was Ryan Ruth funded? Where did he get his money? They have to look at any kind of money wired into his account.
Yeah.
By the way, we still don't have the confirmation, and I suspect that's what we're going to get later this month, about, you know, the 20-year-old who is dead in that mysterious situation where the local Pennsylvania coroner never got a crack at the autopsy.
Yeah, yeah.
What about his accounts,
mm-hmm.
and any money, potential offshore accounts, et cetera? So there are a lot of questions here, but the bottom line is when you look at all of this, the fact that they just seem like Dukes of Hazzard, like, oh, well, we're just go. I guess he wants to go golfing, mm-hmm. so let's walk along.
Yep.
It just doesn't. It doesn't
sit
right.
It's too cavalier, right?
It doesn't sit right with any of us.
No, of course not.
Follow your instincts,
and,
you know?
I think, and maybe you said the numbers, but I read yesterday that this Ruth guy had a job where he was only being paid about $3,000 a month and apparently had no savings.
Yeah.
So how's this guy zipping around from Hawaii to Carolina down to Florida?
I hear Hawaii is actually really cheap to live in.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like one of those states that it's really affordable.
Right. It's like Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly.
855-839-1210. John is in Roxborough. John, you go right ahead, sir.
Hey, what's on? What's going on, guys? I just had a question, really. You just mentioned propaganda. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Obama repeal some kind of law where the media can use propaganda?
I mean, the media has always been propagandists, and it's just been accelerated, I think, a lot in the last 10 to 15 years. I don't know specifically what law you're talking about. I guess we could look that up. And I wanted to take that because it actually ties into this tweet. Ill Skill says they need to fix the libel laws so the news can't slander people. That would help with misinformation. You know, that's another thing I would like to take a look at, because it is very difficult to find somebody guilty of slander, libel, and defamation. Those cases typically don't have a high success rate, but the cavalier nature in which we just slander people, especially on social media where there's no consequences, right? Like, we all deal with trolls and haters, and I mute them or I block them, but, you know, the amount of people that say stuff out there that's truly defaming about somebody with zero proof to confirm it, I'd like to re-examine that.
Let me just say what this guy was talking about. So the claim is that former President Obama signed a law in 2012 allowing government propaganda in the U.S. and making it perfectly legal for the media to purposely lie to the American people.
It's
false. In 2013, Obama signed legislation that changed the U.S. Information and Educational Exchange Act of 1948, also known as the Smith-Mundt Act. The amendment made it possible for some materials created by the U.S. Agency for Global Media, the nation's foreign broadcasting agency, to be disseminated in the United States.
Okay.
So it was a post that was circulating on Facebook that is not true.
Yeah.
So,
and much like Twitter, not everything on Facebook is true either.
It was, by the way, it was a bipartisan. That was bipartisan legislation.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, I say this all the time. Like, I am not for people putting out false information or things, you know, but like it's our job as American citizens to be a little bit more informed and do a little research on it. The end.
I agree.
Not the government's to, you know, police it.
Yep. Let the marketplace of ideas play out however it plays out via the research and due diligence of the people. 855-839-1210. Come back, put a bow on the 8 o'clock hour, a big three from Dawn, and then the Trump Vance campaign with all of the receipts. We'll get to that, as well as a few other off the radar stories. It's Kale and Company as we get closer to the 9 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, when it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision, such care, from custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes to storage solutions. Kitchen Magic gets the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
For the next three mornings, 8:30 appointment listening. We've got Bruno tomorrow at 8:30. Big announcement Thursday at 8:30. Sean Farish Friday at 8:30.
Wow, 8:30 is really the time to be here.
It is. It is. Some would argue that 7:45 to 8:30, the heart of morning drive.
Heart.
855.
And by the way, if you want to bid on the golf outing for with Nick Kale, you can still do that. Go to 1210WPHT.com. Also, if you're watching in the YouTube chat, I think I put the link up there. Phil, if you can pin the link up there. Again, on the YouTube chat again. But the bidding starts. All the money goes to the American Cancer Society.
Yep.
Bid on a threesome of golf with Nick Kale at the Huntington Valley Golf Club next Monday.
I can't guarantee you Secret Service protection.
No.
But I can guarantee you there'll be no snipers in the bushes on the sixth fairway. Yep. You guys are generous. You're great. Travis Mannion Foundation, families behind the badge. Let's do the same for cancer. That would be great. Charlie is in Philadelphia to wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. Charlie, you go right ahead.
Yeah, if I had the power in the government to look into it, I would track down this Zelensky, or not Zelensky, but the Ukraine tie-in with this guy. I mean, the guy doesn't have money, but he can go over there at will and this and that and the other. And for some reason, it stuck in my head that Kamala Harris asked Trump two or three times the other night, who do you want to win the war, Putin or Zelensky or something like that? And he said, she said Russia or the Ukraine, I believe. But he said, neither. I just want the war to end. I just want the war to end. I think he said it two or three times.
Right.
And I'm thinking Zelensky probably scares him that if Trump gets in there, their money's going to dry up of all these billions in arms and cash and everything else. And where else to pay somebody off but all the ghost money that's disappeared over there? I mean, there's something fishy going on here that we're not seeing, you know what I mean?
Charlie, you're totally right, and I wouldn't rule anything out. Funding from Ukraine, funding from Iran. We know Trump is against the war machine. He does not want to have endless, useless wars and keep feeding the military-industrial complex, both here and abroad. So I think that's totally in play. I want to know. I want to find out bank records. I want to find out encrypted devices, because usually it comes down to communication and money. And again, my guy's apparently making $3,000 a month. I don't know, pre-tax, post-tax. That doesn't go too far in 2024. And I certainly can't travel for $3,000 a month to Hawaii and Carolina.
Yeah.
Unless you're Phil Omquist, then you travel everywhere.
That's true. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, the link to bid on the golf that goes to all the money goes to the American Cancer Society is up on the YouTube chat. It's posted or pinned up there. If you want to click on it, you can bid right now. Also, everybody watching, please hit the like button. Hit the like button on today's show, all of you people watching.
Yes.
There's a discrepancy, a big discrepancy in the people watching and the amount of likes. Also, please hit the subscribe button. Do it now. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD.
All right. Coming up next, Dawn Stensland's Big Three to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, and then we will get to the receipts. Will the Democrats, who always love to hold everybody else accountable for words, be held to the same standard of their own toxic rhetoric? We have the receipts. We will share them with you coming up next.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.